We need to be watchmen today. Hear what God's word is saying, in particular, in light of the end times that which you're living in today, and warn the people. You know, Ezekiel became the first street preacher. Go to the fourth chapter. Ezekiel becomes the first street preacher. By the way, just as you pass over the third chapter, let me show you exactly, you know, God has unique ways in which he performs his ministries through us. Here he makes Ezekiel a prophet, and he's going to make him dumb. Not dumb, stupid, dumb, can't talk. You see what he says here in verse 26 of chapter 3? And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. Isn't that interesting? For 7.5 years, Ezekiel's going to be a prophet to the people, but he's not going to be able to say anything, not a thing. His tongue will cleave to the roof of his mouth. Only thing he'll ever say is when God opens it up and he makes a statement. Wow. I mean, I've heard about evangelists. I've heard about street preachers, but not dumb. Dumb, not can't talk types. He lays in the street. You know what he does? God tells him to lay in the street. He lays in the street on his left side for 390 days. He lays on his right side for 40 days, a total of 430 days. Ezekiel's going to lay in the street. It's right here, verses 4 and 5. Verse 5, but I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity according to the number of the days, 390 days. That's on his left side. Verse 6, and when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. 430 days. Ezekiel, with his tongue cleaving to the roof of his mouth, laying in the middle of the street. What kind of a prophet is that? And then God says, hey, Ezekiel, you're probably going to be hungry. I tell you what, I'm going to give you something to eat. I'm going to give you 8 ounces of meat every day. I'm going to give you a quart of water every day. And I'm going to let you bake your bread. In fact, he gives him the ingredients. I don't know if you've ever been to a health food store, but they have Ezekiel bread in there made out of the same ingredients. Look here what the ingredients are. Verse 9. I hope they don't bake it the same way. I'll show you that in a moment. But verse 9, take thou also the wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and finches and put them into one vessel and make thee bread thereof. You know how Ezekiel was supposed to bake the bread? Now listen to me, folks. I'm not trying to be funny. I am not trying to be vulgar. God told Ezekiel, here's the ingredients. Mix them together. And go out there in the middle of the street and take a bowel movement in public. And then when that human excrement is laying in the street, you put it all together and you bake your bread over that bowel movement that you just took in public. You think I'm making that up? Look here what the verse says. Verse 12. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung. That's excrement. That cometh out of man in their sight. Go out in the street and do that. God is making this man a proverb, a prophet, a sign unto his people. And he's got him doing some strange things. By the way, Ezekiel comes back to the Lord and says, Lord, don't you remember what you wrote in Deuteronomy? It is not kosher to take a bowel movement in public. And God said, that's right, you're correct. Okay, you won't use human excrement to bake your bread. You'll use cow manure. I can just see Ezekiel. Thanks a lot, God. That's a lot better. Look at verse 15. It's exactly what it says. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. God is using this man in every aspect of his life to do what he wants him to do. He wants him to be a prophet to his people. The fifth chapter, it's strange as well. Not quite as strange as baking your bread over cow manure, but it is strange. He tells him he has a beard and he has a head of hair, and he says, cut all your hair off. Cut the hair off your head. Cut the hair off your face. Put it in three equal piles. In one pile, you take your dagger out and you stab that pile of hair. In the other pile, you take a fire and light that and burn it up. In the third pile, you take a little bit out of it, put it in your belt, and throw the rest of it in the air. What in the world? I mean, I've seen, what do they call those artists out there? Those gospel artists that draw a picture while you're standing there. I've never seen one of them cut off all his hair and stab one, burn one, and throw one in the air. He was telling him what it was all about. Notice over here, he tells him, look at verse 12 of chapter 5. A third part of thee shall die with pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. That is that hair being burned up. And a third shall fall by the sword round about thee. That is that third of the hair being stabbed by his dagger. And I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after him. And that's the third he takes into the Babylonian captivity. God is using this street preacher. Unbelievable. Go to the 24th chapter. There's so much in here. We don't have time to deal with all of it. Go to the 24th chapter. Ezekiel is a married man. As a priest, he's allowed to be married. He's married. He's known this young lady that, in fact, the priesthood, those men who are in the priesthood, they had to have special permission. They had to have special arrangements with whoever they would marry. And he had known this young lady from his youth up. Notice what it says is going to happen. Verse 15. Also the word of the Lord, chapter 24, verse 15. Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. And that neither shall thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. In other words, they pronounce Sheva. Sheva in Hebrew is seven. And for 7 days, when a Jewish person's family member or some dear one close to them dies, they rip their clothes off, they mourn, they don't eat for 7 days, mourning the death. It's pronouncing Sheva. Now that's what he is told not to do. He said, the wife of your youth is going to die. But don't you shed a tear. Verse 17, forbear to cry. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire on thy head upon thee and put on thy shoes. In other words, get dressed, get upon thy feet and cover not thy lips and eat not the bread of men. So I spake in the people in the morning. At an evening my wife died, and I did in the morning the next day as I was commanded. He takes his wife away. God doesn't allow him to mourn the death of his wife. Go back to work like nothing has happened, Ezekiel. Whew. Unique prophet. Unique ministry. Look at chapter 37 just for a second. We're not going to all of chapter 37, but let me show you what God calls him to do. He brings him to a valley. I happen to believe this is a literal valley that he has taken to. I don't think this is simply a vision, but a literal valley that is he's taken to. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit and in the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were so many, very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? I love his answer. Look at this. Hey, some of you teenagers who have to take final exams, maybe you can try this one sometime. God said to Ezekiel, hey, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Notice what he says to him here. And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. In other words, when that professor or that teacher asks you a dumb question you don't know how to answer, just write down the answer. You know, why are you asking me this dumb question like this? I did try that in college and it worked one time. That's all. They caught me from then on. But I want you to notice what he tells him to do. Look here in verse 4. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He tells him to go out and preach to the dry bones. Takes him to a valley. I see a couple of you preachers kind of smiling a little bit. I mean, you've been there, haven't you? I've been there. I've been there like I was preaching to a valley of dry bones. Not here. I'm not talking about here. But I've been in places like that. God said, preach to the bones, Ezekiel. I want you to notice something. Well, God said, go to your people, a rebellious people, and speak to them no matter what they say or what they look like. Ezekiel said, Yes, sir. When God said, lay in the street for 430 days on your left and right side, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. When God said, bake your bread over cow manure, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. When God said, cut your hair off, stab it, burn it, throw it in the air, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. When God said, I'm going to take your wife, the love of your life, and don't you mourn, you get back at the task, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. When God told Ezekiel to preach to a valley of dry bones, Ezekiel said, yes, sir. How could he do that?